Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, joined by Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier, to be followed by defensive backs coach Joe Woods, Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com at the end. And we're talking about the border battle version 2 this year. Vikings lose a tight one to the Green Bay Packers a few weeks ago. Now, Monday night, Lambeau Field. Just Monday night, Lambeau Field. Just like I heard an announcer over the weekend say, Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. That sounded like college football. Monday night, Lambeau Field. That just sounds like big-time pro football, doesn't it, Leslie?
Oh, no question. I mean, it generates a lot of excitement on our team and with our fans as well. I mean, to be able to go to Lambeau and play in front of a hostile audience, and you know, our players are really looking forward to it. Then it's Monday night football, so yep. There's a lot of excitement that generates around Monday night football.
Coming from 2-6, can you sell, guys, this is our opportunity to spoil somebody's perfect season. Can you sell that, or do you have to be concerned too much with what's going on with your team?
Yeah, we're not necessarily trying to sell spoiling their perfect season. We still believe that we have some goals that are achievable, and part of that means we have to win this game.
Yep.
And that's the next game on our schedule, so that's how we're approaching it.
The players always certainly appreciate the Monday Night Football stage because they always talk about what their peers, you know, all their peers are watching and how they're playing and everything. Is it like that with coaches? Most of the other coaches might be watching, and they kind of get to see how your individual program operates?
I never really thought about it that way. You know, it's just you get so wrapped up in your team and what you're trying to get accomplished. I just never thought about it that way.
Do you ever even watch Monday Night Football? Because the Monday after a Sunday game, you're probably doing something, right?
Rarely do I watch Monday Night Football. I may catch the end of a game because one of my friends is coaching that game.
Yep. But
as far as watching the game, no. Rarely, if ever.
Round 2 in the border battle, what did you learn from the first game, the tightly contested loss to Green Bay, that maybe can help you here this evening?
There were a number of things we saw when we looked back at that game and looked at the videotape that we know if we play a little bit better in certain areas, we have a chance to come away with a W in that game and then the game coming up. So there are some things that we feel confident that we can build on and correct.
Green Bay closed out the game with 6 runs for 55 yards with James Starks. That seemed to bug some defensive leaders, at least into the Carolina game. They talked about it a little bit, then they go on to the bye. Did you sense that from some of your defensive leaders?
No question about it. I mean, that was something that really got under the guy's skin, and you know, our defense was on the field, and we thought we would be able to get the ball back, and the fact that we didn't, we got some prideful guys, and it really bothered them, and I'm sure that they'll come back and we'll play better in the run with our run defense this next game.
Not to confuse anybody, but with a Monday night football game, a Thursday becomes a Wednesday in the football world, so this was your first practice up to the Monday night game. You'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, travel on Sunday, play on Monday. How does a Wednesday practice differ from a Thursday practice?
Well, for us, the Wednesday practice is a day for us to work on our base offense and defense and our installation on special teams. So we don't get to third down situations. We don't get to red zone situations. It's purely just a base situation, first and second down. So it's an introduction to our game plan for both sides of the ball along with our special teams.
So do you know off today's practice, Leslie, how Antoine Winfield got through it? Like how did he get through today's practice? Was there much contact? How was his neck?
He practiced well. He moved around extremely well and had no ill effects from today's practice. So we're optimistic that he'll be fine when Monday night rolls around.
What do you miss most when Antoine doesn't play?
Well, his leadership, for one. I mean, just his presence on the field gives everybody else confidence in our secondary and on our team as well. And then the fact that he's such a good tackler, to be able to have his presence on the field, you know that limits yards when it comes to people trying to run the ball or trying to make plays. So his presence means a lot to our team.
He's your best blitzing defensive back. Is he your best blitzing defensive player, period?
You know, that was a time when I thought EJ would be that person without question, and EJ is still a very good blitzer, but Antoine gives him a real close run at that.
But not everybody, just because they're in the NFL and they're super fast and they make a lot of money and they might have been a first, second, or third round pick, not everybody's a good blitzer, right? There really is an art to it.
There is an art to it, and you're right. It's not just about speed, but a lot of it has to do with anticipation, instincts, and timing. Being able to time up snaps, understanding what offenses are trying to do. Antoine has that sixth sense about when to come and when to slow it down a little bit.
And then he hits.
And then he can finish.
That's a good thing.
Yes, he can finish once he gets there.
With Antoine back, what changes with Asher Allen's role?
Asher will still be in the lineup as a corner, and really doesn't change a whole lot for him. Antoine is going to work in the nickel in this ballgame in particular, because you see so many multiple receiver sets from Green Bay.
Yep.
So there really won't be much change.
Are you putting Kevin Williams on a big second half of the season, and if so, why?
We really need Kevin to play at a high level this second half, and he and I sit down and talked prior to the bye and after the bye about what his role needs to be the second half of the season, and we're counting on him to have a great second half.
How's his foot?
You know, he tells me that he's doing fine. He's gotten away from getting treatment now, coming out of the bye, so we're expecting him to be completely 100%.
What about EJ's knee?
This time off was really beneficial for EJ, being able to rest and not have to go through the pounding. So we're thinking we're going to have an EJ that's closer to the EJ we're more accustomed to seeing.
Leslie Frazier, Paul Allen, Vikings live at Winter Park, previewing Monday night's football game against Green Bay, and also just catching up on the Vikings off last week due to the bye week. And during the off week, you tore the product apart. When you did that, what are some things positively and negatively that you saw?
You know, we saw a group of guys when we looked at it that were really fighting in every ball game that we've been in and trying to make things happen. And we saw how well our run offense has been producing, what we're doing on third and short, that short yardage situations. We saw a defense that's doing some good things in the red zone and limiting opportunities for teams in the red zone. And our special teams, our punt return, kickoff coverage, I mean, a lot of good things in that area, but we also saw some deficiencies that we feel like we can improve, and you know, we got to work towards that in order to have a chance to have a good second half.
Did you go anywhere during the off week? Did you get any downtime?
You know, I actually did. I had a chance to go and visit my son down at in Houston, Texas at Rice University, and had a chance to watch them play their homecoming game, and mm-hmm. it came away with a win against UTEP. So that was exciting to be able to go out to dinner with him and just sit down and talk, which is something I don't get a chance to do very much.
Outside of that, did you watch any football? Do you watch any NFL while you're away?
No, you know, actually, when I got back on Sunday, I caught the second half of the San Diego Green Bay game.
Right.
Man, I mean, all those points got me a little nervous, but hey, you know, we'll figure out a way.
But they were averaging 32 points a game and only had given up 12 sacks when they came here to play you at Mall of America Field. You got into a shootout with the best gunslinger in the NFL, and you almost won the game, and you sacked him four times, so you put 16 on him for the season. You know, that's, you didn't win the game, but you won some little battles along the way.
We won some battles. We were good on third down against them. You know, hold them to 25%, which is a big deal against that offense. So that we have a lot of good things, Paul, that we can build on. Now we got to find a way to get that win.
Some people around here tell me Christian Ponder is very good at and is improving at getting the team out of bad plays. Mm. What does that mean?
Well, sometimes, you know, you can draw certain things up in the meeting rooms and when you're talking to players on film about how the look is going to be. But when you get out there and it's live, and all of a sudden you call a play on third and five and they're running a different defense than you anticipated,
yep.
Now the quarterback has to be able to make a play, because it may not be exactly like we drew it up. And Christian has done a great job of improvising at times, but also understanding, okay, this is not what we scripted, but here is what my outlet, this is where my outlet is if it's not perfect.
Did you give him a homework assignment into the off week?
Well, probably the biggest thing was just to go back and look at himself, just like we looked at our team. We wanted him to be able to look at himself from those first two starts that he had as he gets ready for this Green Bay game.
Identify a few things Christian Ponder needs to do to become even better than he has been, and he's been pretty good.
Well, the things that he needs to do to improve will come as he continues to gain experience, being able to, you know, get away from whatever my first read is and being able to find my second read. When I scramble, you know, understanding how important it is to slide versus going head first.
Yep.
Some of the little things you have to be able to do. But all the things that he has to do to improve are correctable, and he will continue to improve.
Leslie, does it seem like he handles pressure pretty well? And this atmosphere Monday night is going to be a beast all unto its own. But, you know, the Carolina game was really close. He made some plays late. The Green Bay game was really close. He made some plays late, specifically on that drive with three first downs, closes it with Jenkins for the touchdown. Does he spit the play out in the huddle well when it starts to get really hot?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that our players have commented on, the fact that he remains composed in some of the most dire situations. And that's a big deal when you're talking about the quarterback, because the rest of the offense and even our team feeds off of his energy and his confidence. And he's been great in the huddle in some clutch situations for us.
You know, in that game at Mall of America Field when Jared Allen got one of his two sacks, I think it was his second sack, I saw it via film with you when we did Vikings Game Plan, the TV show. Aaron Henderson blitzed, fullback got him, Jared beat somebody, closed on a sack. And that's so infrequent against Aaron Rodgers, because I think he's an 81% guy against the blitz. You got to pick your poison with him, right?
You got to pick your spots. You can't be afraid to do it. There are going to be times you need to do it, because as you know, if you just sit back in zone 100% of the time, he's so accurate, his numbers go off the chart. I think he's like 70% right now. So yeah, you got to pick your spots, and fortunate for us, we were able to get there on that occasion.
Yeah, and that was one sack generated off a blitz, and then you created a mismatch, and the game's all about mismatches. I understand that. But is it best overall to rush four against him and play coverage, or do you just really have to mix up the poker hand, I mean, literally the entire game, to try to throw him off balance?
Yeah, I think you got to mix it up. It's hard to stay one way. He's too good of a quarterback, and he's gained enough experience now where you can't just sit in one look and say, well, that'll confuse him. Yeah. Not anymore. There was a time you could do that, but not anymore.
Why are they giving up so many passing yards?
You know, part of it is their pass rush. That's part of it. And I think losing Nick Collins has had a factor, played a factor in that as well. But yeah, I'm sure that over the next 8 weeks, they're going to figure out a way to improve their pass defense.
When you got the guys back together off the freshening, what were the attitudes like coming from 2-6?
You know, it's the funny thing about our team, as difficult as our season has been from a win-loss standpoint, I don't sense that anybody's feeling sorry for themselves. I think they're all looking forward to this game on Monday night and the second half of our season. And there's a lot of enthusiasm about the second half of the season, starting with Green Bay.
I have a pregame speech line for you. Do you want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
Guys, if you can beat this undefeated team at Lambeau Field, there's no doubt you can win the rest of the games on the schedule. Vikes on three. 1, 2, 3. Vikes.
Hey, I like it. Let's do that.
Think about it.
It's not bad.
If you can beat this beast of a team at Lambeau Field, well, yeah. I mean, I know you really love looking ahead in the schedule outside of what Monday night, but seriously, if you can beat this team at Lambeau Field, you can win the rest of your games.
No doubt. I mean, we feel like that going in, and we feel like we can beat Green Bay in Green Bay, and that's how we're approaching it.
Excellent. Good luck. Right. Good to chat with you again. Best of luck Monday night.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, in a conversation that was provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Joe Woods, defensive backs coach, next on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, now joined by Minnesota Vikings defensive backs coach Joe Woods on Vikings Live at Winter Park, getting ready to take on the Green Bay Packers this weekend. And Mr. Woods joins us now off a bye week. Where did you find any downtime? You get to enjoy yourself? What'd you do?
Yeah, during the bye week, they spent a lot of time at home just doing the honeydews, right. You know, getting everything cleaned up in the backyard and playing with the kids. So it was good.
Did you talk to your dear friend Mike Tomlin after the loss to the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, well, I talked to Mike before the loss.
Yeah.
I'm sure he doesn't want to hear from me now. He's probably dealing with the issues. But I had a good talk with him, man, and they're excited about what they're doing this season.
So you guys stay in touch?
Oh, absolutely. I talk to him probably every couple of weeks.
He's got that Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, he does.
Has anything changed about him since his team won the Super Bowl?
No, man. Mike T is always going to be the same guy, man. Mike's always been a good guy.
Yeah.
Very good football coach, very good friend.
Tell us about yourself, where you're from, where you have coached before here, and just tell us about Joe Woods.
Yeah, well, I started off, I'm from originally from Pennsylvania, Western PA. I went to school at Illinois State, started coaching after that. My college head coach, Jim Haycock, his brother was a head coach at Muskingum College. That's where I got my start. I continued on through college, made stops at Eastern Michigan, Grand Valley State, Kent State, Northwestern State, Hofstra University, Western Michigan. Then I made my way to Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a quality control guy. And then I came up here with Mike Tomlin.
You know, frequently, Joe, people hear about the quality control position. In fact, the coach you're going to go against this weekend, Mike McCarthy, I believe he may have been a quality control guy for the Cleveland Browns many years ago when he started his coaching career, or if it's not the Browns, definitely started in quality control. What is an offensive or defensive quality control coach?
For sure, you do a lot of the work. You do a lot of dirty work behind the scenes. You're doing all the film breakdowns. You're drawing up all the cards, all the handouts for all the players. But it's a great learning experience. The time I spent down to Tampa, you know, I had the privilege to work with Monty Kiffin, Rod Marinelli, Mike Tomlin, Joe Barry. There was a lot of good coaches down there I learned from. John Gruden was the head coach. So it was a great experience for me, and it really just helped me get to where I'm at now.
You think John Gruden will ever jump back into the NFL?
You know, I don't know about Gru, man. Gru's a great guy. I know he loves football. He's an innovator of football. Yeah. Does a great job. But, you know, he's doing a great job right now at Monday Night Football. I think he's enjoying himself being a commentator. So I don't know if he's going to get back in or not.
You'll see him Monday night. Will you chat with him?
Oh, there's no question.
Excellent.
I always chat with Gru every time I see him.
DB's coach Joe Woods on Vikings Live at Winter Park. As a defensive backs coach in the National Football League, you get these guys out of 3 or 4 years of college, most of them high-level college, you know, big conferences and stuff. Like, for instance, a guy like Asher Allen. He'd be a perfect example. Defensive back, played in the SEC from Georgia, kind of the NFL's version of college football. How does the teaching work from your standpoint when you get your hands on them, they come into the league? How much do they know? How much do you have to tweak?
Well, it's different with each guy, you know, based on where they come from, the systems that they run defensively. The thing with Asher Allen, he's a very smart football player. He understands things. He spent a lot of time in college learning the offensive side of the ball. The biggest thing you try to do as a coach when you bring him in is just teach him the techniques and teach him the scheme that you guys run defensively. So that's what I do with all the guys, try to find out their strengths and weaknesses as a player, and just try to cater them a little bit in terms of that.
What are some of the differences between Leslie Frazier as a head coach compared to the previous head coach, Brad Childress?
They're similar guys, but at the same time, they're a little bit different. Learned a great deal of football from Les because he played DB at a high level, played in the NFL, coached DBs. So there was a lot of things that we talked about in terms of different techniques, how to change coverages, tweak coverages. So I had a little more interaction with Les because he was more of a defensive football coach than Brad. But Brad was also a very knowledgeable coach because he would tell us things from an offensive standpoint, what they were looking at. So I learned their similar, but different just because of what side of the ball they coach for.
Your DBs go against Christian Ponder every day in practice, so therefore you're watching what you guys do, but you're also watching our quarterback in the future of the franchise. What do you think of Christian Ponder through a couple of starts and a quarter against Chicago?
I like all the quarterbacks. They're all a little bit different, but with Christian, you feel like he has that savvy, like he has that it. Things don't bother him. Things don't get to him. He has the ability to throw the ball, the arm strength. He knows how to run the offense. He's a smart football player, and I think a lot of guys on the offensive side of the ball and defense are rallying around him.
What excites you most about the return of Antoine Winfield?
There's a lot that excites me. Huh. You know, obviously, Antoine has done it for a long time.
Yeah.
Very little interaction with Antoine in terms of the schemes and the teams we're playing, because he understands it because he's been around so long.
Yep.
A lot of things I do with Antoine are, you know, some of the more exotic things in terms of how he can make a play based on what we see from teams offensively. But it's a pleasure to get him back. The guys are excited. I'm excited. Just look forward to him playing Monday night.
Did Cedric Griffin have a rough first half of the season in your estimation?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. I think from the outside perspective and from our perspective, he's given up some big plays. But at the same time, you know, Ced's coming off a major knee reconstruction with the ACL. Very proud of where he's come from and where he's at right now. But he's still a work in progress. To say he's 100%, he's probably not there right now. Yep. But he's getting better each week.
How do you guys determine when to use Tyrell Johnson and Jamarcus Sanford? We had that rotation through the first 8 games for the most part, except for the game Jamarcus missed.
We like to give those guys equal opportunity to make plays on Sunday. So we try to split their reps during the week, and we get in the game. We want to make sure each guy has a certain amount of reps. And if one guy's a little bit higher than the other one, he might see a little more reps during that game.
Analyze Hussein Abdullah's first half. Got off to a really sweet start.
Yeah, Hussein, very instinctual player, has great football awareness. Really the quarterback of the defense in the back end, gets everybody lined up, makes all the checks. He does a great job. Like you said, he started off great, kind of fell off a little bit in the middle. You know, we made those corrections. He looked at it on tape and understands what he needs to do, but he's been pretty consistent the first half of the season.
Who's the best blitzer, Joe, of all your defensive backs and why?
You know the question of that.
Winfield?
No question.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Well, we think Tuesday night Philadelphia, slot blitz, blindside Vic, there he goes, changes the game.
Yeah, Antoine just has a nose for the football, and he's a physical player. He seeks contact, and he's done it for so long. You know, he knows how to just give the quarterback different looks just to try to free himself up.
Yeah.
He knows how to defeat blockers, how to set them up. He's just really good at doing it.
But he's not, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, straight line speed-wise, he's not the fastest guy in the secondary, correct?
Well, yeah, if you asked him, he's probably not as fast as he was when he came out of Ohio State.
Right.
But the thing that Antoine still has is elite quickness. He's very quick. And in this league, if you can set somebody up and make them miss, then you're going to have success.
You talked a little bit about Asher Allen earlier, Joe Woods, defensive backs coach for the Minnesota Vikings on Vikings Live at Winter Park. And he had to play a lot at the end of the year last year. Then Winfield goes down. Mm-hmm. He played a lot. Went into the slot in that Arizona game. I think he had 9 or 10 tackles. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing from afar that I've noticed about Asher that's really jumped up is his willingness to tackle and how he closes on them.
Yeah.
And that's it's just been tremendous to watch. Do you see the same thing?
Yeah, without any question. Asher stepped up in a time we really need him and did a great job, especially that first game against Arizona. Asher has all the traits you're looking for. He's extremely quick. He's fast, very smart, and he's very strong. He's learned a lot of football from watching Antoine, ask him a lot of questions in the meeting room, how you play this, how you play that. But he's done a great job stepping up, and you know we're asking him to do a lot of things in the next coming games.
The rookie, Mistral Raymond, how close is he to maybe playing some safety?
Very close. Really? You know, we talk about it every week. We feel like all those guys, if they can show us in practice that they're ready to play, we're going to give them an opportunity and let them, you know, sort it out on the field. So we're looking forward to get them a couple series in the next couple games.
What about Brandon Burton, the kid from Utah? What's his game like?
Yeah, he's coming along. You know, obviously it hurt not having him here for the offseason just to see where he was at from a fundamental technique standpoint.
Yep.
But he's coming along. He's getting better every week. You can see him getting better with his techniques and his style of play on the football field. Still think he needs a little bit of time to continue to learn the game and grow in the game, but I think he's really going to be a good player.
In closing, what about you? What are your career aspirations? Do you want to become a defensive coordinator, eventually become a head coach? You've been the DB's coach here for several years now. What are your career aspirations, Joe?
You know, obviously, over the years, man, I've been asked this question a few times. I would definitely like to be a defensive coordinator at some point in my career, but right now I'm just concerned about being the best defensive back coach I can here at the Vikings, and whatever happens after that will happen.
Fun challenge Monday night. You get Aaron Rodgers pretty good.
Hey, I'm very excited. It's always a challenge. It's always a big game. He's a great player. They have a great football team. We're going to have to play at our best to go get these guys.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Joe Woods, defensive backs coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Buffalo Wild Wings is the only place to watch the game. When you're not at the game, play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience, free wings, and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. I'm Paul Allen. More Vikings Live at Winter Park shortly on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park continues all throughout the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Paul Allen thanking Joe Woods, defensive backs coach, and head coach Leslie Frazier for joining us. And now the all-time leading scorer in the history of Green Bay Packers football, Ryan Longwell, joins us. Sixth season with the Minnesota Vikings. We've said it every year. You're still the all-time leading scorer in the history of Green Bay Packers football. That, I mean, I know they wear the wrong colors now, but that's still quite the honor.
Yeah, I'm certainly proud of what I accomplished in my 9 years over there. And played with some great teammates on some really good teams, and you know, the scoring thing is one of those. I was pretty fortunate to be in some great offenses.
Yep.
And having Favre there and having the offense that we had, I was able to score a lot. And, you know, Mason may have a shot at it in a couple years, so it would be fun to watch him. But it's certainly an honor that I'm proud of.
He mentions Mason Crosby hit a 58-yard field goal at Mall of America Field. I swear it would have been good from 66 to 70.
Hit the net.
Well, I think he's hit 21 or 22 in a row now. Hey, what's gotten into Mason Crosby? He's always had a big leg, but now he has a big, accurate leg.
Well, I think he's relaxed a little bit. I think having a kid and, you know, that kind of gets your priorities straight.
Yeah.
And I think just the comfort of being back, having a good contract. He certainly found something halfway through last season that he's hitting the ball as good as anybody in the league. And certainly a great guy. I mean, I'm happy for him that he's having the success, because it is a tough place to kick, as I know. And to do what he's doing is pretty fun to watch.
During your fantastic career, you've had some really bright moments and some really big highlights, including, I think it was 2004 when you played for the Packers. You beat the Vikings twice, 34-31. It was Longwell at the buzzer two times. Incredibly emotional season. But when you and the team went there in 2009 and you ran out with Brett Favre returning to Lambeau Field, is that near the top for you?
Well, yeah, I've told a lot of people, a lot of my friends, that, you know, high school sports are so much fun and, you know, little league and stuff, but the best year of sports I've ever played was 2009 here.
Really?
Watching Brett do what he did was just so fun, and we had such a special chemistry on that team. Having said that, going out for the coin toss for that game when Brett and I were captains and hearing the crowd just boo, and the conversation that we had,
that's awesome,
is one of the highlights of definitely my life. I mean, it was so much fun, and just a special moment that, you know, only two of us could share, because we were, you know, two long tenured guys over there, and being out there at the 50-yard line in Lambeau, and then obviously going on to win was pretty awesome.
You're not a guy who holds grudges or harbors ill will. You're very comfortable within your skin, with your spirituality and what you've built up professionally, and it's all been good. But do you ever sit back and think, if we had just run the ball instead of throwing it at the end of the New Orleans game, intercepted by Tracy Porter, run down by John Sullivan, if we had just run up the middle, it would have been Longwell from 55 to maybe go to Miami and play in the Super Bowl.
And I like our chances in that situation.
So do I. Melted down on the radio because of it.
Yeah, you know, I try to, as you know, in this profession, I mean, it's all about the next game and the next game. And so in my job, it's the next kick. And so you try not to get into the woulda, shoulda, coulda. But, boy, when you're in that situation with a chance to go to the Super Bowl, it happens to be the last game of your season, which...
It's not windy in there or anything?
Which rides with you all offseason. I certainly, that's the one attempt I would love to have, the shot to send us, because I feel pretty good we'd have made it.
Man, before we talk about Monday night's game and the Packers and everything, I just love sharing memories with you, because now I'm in 2007, Soldier Field. You know, Adrian goes for 361 total, and you hit that 55-yard field goal, longest in your career, second longest in Vikings history behind Paul Edinger, who beat Green Bay with a 56-yarder.
I was on the sideline there, too.
In 2000, I believe that was 2005, after you beat us twice in 2004, and you had to run onto the field after. It's like it was yesterday. Adrian returns the kick into plus territory. The Vikings don't move that far. It's like third and four, five, or six. They run Adrian. Lance Briggs puts the biggest hit on Adrian Peterson.
And we lose yardage.
And we lost yardage. Backed us up. It's windy. And then you dagger the Chicago Bears. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, that was certainly a big game for us. I remember... you know, not thinking much about the last kick, because I thought 55, I'd just swing as hard as I could. And I knew it was a right-to-left wind, kind of into the wind, so I had to start it at the right upright and let the wind take it. Mm. I remember thinking the 48-yard I hit in that game was the tougher of the two kicks.
Yeah.
And I thought once we got that through, I felt like I had a pretty good knack for that stadium that day. And then just seeing it fly, I thought I got it pretty good. But from that distance in Soldier Field, you just never know if it's going to get there.
And then they mobbed you.
Yeah, then that's always the fun part, is having your teammates mob you after the game.
That was a walk-off winner. Ryan Longwell on Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. The border battle Monday night, former Green Bay Packer, current Viking Ryan Longwell's here with us. And into the season, you know, when we were talking about the kickoff rule where they've moved the kicks to the 35, everybody was complaining about it because of lack of productivity from kick returners, Josh Cribbs, Percy Harvin, Devin Hester, all this stuff. I loved it. And here's what my take was, because my guy, Ryan Longwell, He's a golfer by trade, so he's going to channel his inner wedge, plop that thing about 5 yards deep in the end zone, let us play coverage, and try to trap teams inside the 20 or the 25. Has it worked?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, obviously, my touchback total is up just because from kicking closer, you can swing away a little more. With the exception of the one kick against Hester that he got on us, we've covered kicks well. Yep. We've been able to stuff a lot of teams inside the 20. I know we're the fourth-ranked team, coming out of the bye week, covering kicks, and we feel good about our plan. We feel good about our guys, and I think all 11 of us have a good idea of what we want to do and switch momentum and keep momentum sometimes when we have to, but certainly helped out.
Not to talk out of turn here or have you totally speak for your good friend and teammate Chris Cluey, but you just brought up Devin Hester. When the Vikings play the Bears, does he need a therapeutic massage during the week while watching the film or something? Because he's one of the best punters in the National Football League.
No doubt.
But we've seen it against Chicago several times. Sometimes he gets out of his element.
Yeah, I think it's twofold. One is that he's trying to be so precise, and you can't be that precise with an oblong ball. It's not a round ball. We don't know how it's going to bounce, and you got to kind of have a little leeway there. The other thing is he's been really careful about, not doing concerts and stuff during the week and saving that for the offseason.
Are we talking about McKinney or Chris Cluey?
Cluey. We're to the point now when we play the Bears, maybe you should just give a tour for the week and then come into the game tired and then just rely on his natural talent,
Yeah. Ryan Longwell is our guest. Paul Allen of Vikings Live at Winter Park. When you go back to Lambeau Field, you were there in 09. Obviously, you've been there every year that we've gone back there since you got here in 2006. Is it still special for you? Does anybody boo Ryan Longwell when you run out of the tunnel?
A few still do.
Really?
It's not as bad as 06 when they all decided to.
Right.
It's a special place. I mean, when you're playing sports as a kid, I mean, Lambeau Field's one of the places you want to play. And, this is a great rivalry. I mean, it's hard to believe this is my 30th game in this rivalry.
Wow.
And, to play in Lambeau is a special place, and their fans are right on top of you. It's a unique stadium design that it's a bowl. It's not the tiered thing that a lot of stadiums have. And just a unique kind of college atmosphere in the NFL, which you just don't have anymore.
Your touchbacks are up, like you mentioned. That's good. You're one of the most accurate kickers in the history of the NFL. That's good. Now something I've never asked you in the 6 years I've known you, because we've never had to ask you, and it's probably not even a talker, but you've missed 3 of your last 8.
Yep.
Are you in a tiny slump right now?
No, we looked at the bye week. It wasn't so much that we were missing kicks. It was how we were missing them.
Right.
They were coming off my foot the wrong way. They were rotating the wrong way. And so I'm okay with missing if I hit a good ball and guess wrong with the wind, which I've done in the past. But we kind of looked at it, and we really feel we have a good handle on why it was happening, why it happened so many times in a row as of late. But we feel we have it solved. And so I feel confident, and I know Colin and Cluey and I are on the same page now on a lot of moving parts in a short amount of time, and we all have to be on, and we feel good about where we're going.
So even at this stage of your career, you still have to tweak things to keep that percentage up.
Yeah, I don't know if it's much tweaking as it is. We've had so much success for so many years between Colin and Cluey and I.
Yep.
There are certain things that you just kind of let slide, and unfortunately it takes missed kicks for us to kind of re-evaluate how we're doing it,
right,
and making sure we're doing what we've always done, and little things slide here and there that you think you're doing what you've always done, but we're not, obviously. And so we really feel good about it. And obviously going into the bye week, hitting a good game winner, in that situation, we all felt good and kind of analyzed it. And so I feel we can, this 8-game stretch, we can put on a good run.
When a guy like Olindo Mari misses a field goal in that game after you hit the game winner, do you feel bad for your brethren? I mean, do you talk to them after the game, or is it just, that's it, that's the end of the deal?
I mean, I tried to talk to him, but yeah, I certainly do. I mean, we're in a unique position. I mean, there's no depth chart for the kickers, and so there's 32 of us in the world, and there's only 32 of us that can empathize with each other. And so when you see something like that, you definitely hurt. And people know the type of guy I am. I've never been a guy that wishes, guys to miss, that wishes ill will, because I just think I know what it's like to miss a kick, and it's no fun for anybody. And so when you see a guy go through that, part of you is excited for your team, and part of you is thinking that when you've been in that situation that it's not as much fun.
Okay, so if we're winning by 2 on Monday night and Mason Crosby's hit like 23 or 24 in a row and he lines up from 35, how are you going to handle that?
Well, if he misses that kick, it won't be because I'm wishing him to miss it.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I'm not certainly hoping that he makes it. You know? But
that's great.
I think I'll leave it up to the cosmic gods for that to end the way it should.
I always enjoy our chats. Thank you, Ryan.
Hey, my pleasure.
Ryan Longwell, kicker for the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com, will handicap the game when we return to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to our final segment of Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen joined by Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com as we handicap Monday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. And we also invite you to join yours truly and Paul Charchian tomorrow morning from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Apple Valley. It's the Friday Football Feast. Pete Bursich, analyst for the Vikings Radio Network. He'll be there from 10:20 until 10:55. You can get the complete schedule at Vikings.com or on my show page. The Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. The border battle, your thoughts?
Hey, PA, I think it's just so hard not to get excited whenever you play the Green Bay Packers, a division rival of yours. Add in the fact that it's Monday night and we've got Christian Ponder and we've got the best running back in the NFL and they're undefeated, defending Super Bowl champions. It's just easy to get excited about this game. And we're going to sit through a whole weekend of great football games on Saturday with the college games, on Sunday with the NFL games, Sunday night Jets, Patriots, and then we cap it off with our game on Monday night. It's going to be really exciting. You know, when I look at this Green Bay team, I think you immediately look at their offense, and it's the wow factor with how efficient they are, how good they are, how many weapons they have, and how well Aaron Rodgers plays. Our friend Paul Charchian tweeted a stat yesterday, I think it was, when you take away throwaways and spikes to kill the clock, Aaron Rodgers completes something like 81% of his passes. And it's an unbelievable number. And another factor or facet of the Packers offense that I am so impressed with, and getting to watch them over our bye week or when they've been on Monday night and getting a chance to watch them, is they make you defend the whole field. And that's because Aaron Rodgers, if he feels any pressure, he can escape the pocket, and he's not looking to tuck the ball and run, which you've said on the radio on numerous times. He's looking to throw the ball downfield. And when they use four and five wide receiver sets and they use all these odd formations, they make you defend the whole field, and it's a hard team to stop.
I was glad to hear Leslie Frazier atop the show talk about the end of the game at Mall of America Field, because I brought it up to you repeatedly. I brought it up on the Monday through Friday 9 to noon show, where after having the best passing team in the NFL spread out four and five receivers, go shotgun, no huddle, empty backfield, to have them close it out using two tight ends and a fullback and run six times for 55 yards.
Painful.
Well, they came right at us. Yeah. And they came right at the strength of the Vikings defense in at Mall of America Field.
Yeah.
So Leslie said that really got under the skin of some defensive leaders on this team. You're not going to hear them give Aaron Rodgers, Mr. McCarthy, or anybody for Green Bay bulletin board material. But I think it is fair to say that won't happen again.
Yeah, and another thing, as disappointing as that was, a couple of people that I talked to, you know, they made it sound like it was assignment mistakes, and it wasn't getting outmanned, which is, it's disappointing that it's an assignment mistake, because that's kind of a mental mistake, and one area that you want to be shored up on is the mental part of your game. But at least they weren't outmanned, and they have to be what the football people call gap sound.
Yep.
Guys staying in your gaps, and I think when you're at the end of a game and you're trying to turn the ball over and give it back to your offense, sometimes you get a little over anxious, you get antsy, you want to make a play, you jump out of your gap. Maybe that's what happened at the end of that game. But for a defense under Leslie Frazier, and even going back to 06 with Mike Tomlin, that has been so stout against the run, it was just so disappointing to see Green Bay seal the victory that way. I don't think you're going to see that happen to the Vikings again against Green Bay on Monday night.
Wobby, there's been a lot of talk this week about Antoine Winfield returning Monday night. Chatted with Leslie Frazier and Joe Woods extensively about it on this show. But from the fan standpoint, guys like you and I, I'm just excited to watch Antoine play, because I like how he plays.
Yeah, I do too. He seems to always be around the ball. And Leslie talked in his press conference this week about wanting splash plays from his defenders. Yep. Interceptions, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, pick it up and run with it. And Antoine is just so good at that, at taking the ball away and making big plays. We've seen him with the sack and the strip.
leadership and the fumble return. We've seen him return blocked field goals. Antoine just seems to be able to do that. And a lot of what Green Bay does in the passing game is run after the catch, and you're just not going to get a lot of that with Antoine Winfield on the field, at least if you throw to where he is. And he can come up and eliminate a screen pass. We've seen him come up from the ground and take out a running back. And it's going to be great to have him back, a sure tackler, a defensive leader, and just a spark back on defense.
In the 4 or 5 years I've known you, Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com, follow his content, the video, the keys to the game, and much more. The guys at the Vikings Entertainment Network do a terrific job at Vikings.com getting you ready for the games. But in the years I've known you, there never has been a game where you and I thought the Minnesota Vikings could not win.
Right.
Now, we're 14-point underdogs on Monday night. This is an undefeated team. It's the best overall team in the National Football League with a quarterback who is on an 8-game run that's better than anybody in the history of the game. So are we delusional in that? I mean, we just talked about it off the microphone. We think the Vikings can win this game.
Yeah.
And we legitimately believe it. It's not like we sit here and have to talk ourselves into it. We formulate all the right opinions. Coming off a bye, Percy's ribs are better. Adrian is the little nagging things that he had. He's fine. Winfield's coming back. Ponder already played them well.
Yeah.
We think we can win the game. Are we delusional?
I don't think we are. I mean, this is always a good game, and you can't take anything away from the undefeated defending champions, and they're playing at home, and they're playing great, as you've just laid out. But this is a team that the Vikings that's going the right way also. They gave Green Bay a great game at Mall of America Field a few weeks ago. They beat Carolina on the road. Nice win for Christian Ponder. You go into your bye week. Our injury report going into that Carolina game was long and huge. And this week, the injury report comes out today because it's a Monday night game, so the first one comes out Thursday. There's only two players who are injured on that report.
Herrera and
Winfield,
who
was a full participant, but he's still on the the report. And it's amazing what a bye week can do. So some of the arrows are pointing in the right direction for the Vikings. Now, you're still going against Green Bay. I mean, this is a team that, scoring efficiency-wise, completely off the charts. In the NFL, the percentage chance that you have of scoring a touchdown on your drive average is 19%. Green Bay is scoring touchdowns on 33% of their drives. Mm. The average scoring percent on a drive, touchdowns and field goals, is something around 33% in the NFL.
Green Bay
is 50.
Yeah. They're at 50, like 44 for 88.
This is off the charts. Ooh. Aaron Rodgers, his pass rating is at 129. Yep. But, you know, there's just, it's the Vikings and Packers. There's something about it. It's Monday night. And we haven't talked about Jared Allen yet and how well he plays against the Packers.
Yep.
And how great of a season he's having. Adrian Peterson has the most rushing yards against the Packers of any Vikings running back in history.
Yep.
And he's only 239 away from the all-time record. I mean, there's just a lot of things on this team to be excited about, adding Christian Ponder, and I cannot wait for Monday night.
The Jared Allen talker with a couple of minutes to go here, it's very interesting, and I'm glad you brought it up, because he is a defensive player like Charles Woodson that changes the game plan.
Yeah.
And when you're competitively arrogant like the Green Bay Packers are, Mike McCarthy, excellent play caller, Aaron Rodgers, elite quarterback, you don't want to commit fullbacks, running backs, and or tight ends to stop a defensive end, because that takes a guy out of your precious routes.
Yes.
Now, Jared had a couple of sacks at Mall of America Field. Granted, had the crowd on his side. I wonder how they're going to handle him Monday night.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. And they have a pretty good left tackle, Chad Clifton, but he's going to be out for this game.
Yep.
So you add that in there, you wonder how they're going to approach Jared. You can't help but watch the first 8 games of the Vikings season and look at Jared Allen as a complete game changer and think you have to do something special to stop him or to at least try and neutralize him. But as you said, Green Bay thinks we're 8-0 defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
We're better at doing what we do than other teams are at what they do. Yep. So they might not try anything special, and that's where Jared Allen can change a game.
30 seconds, you get it all. Vikings.com, what can people find out of the bye into the border battle?
Well, stadium information, obviously that's been a really big talker in the state, and we do our best to keep people informed on the stadium. So if you want what's the latest on the stadium situation, go to Vikings.com. After my blog entries now, I do a stadium fact of the day. Even if the blog entry isn't about the stadium, you and I do a keys to the game segment every week. Fans can go there and check that out. Adrian Peterson in the locker room, Christian Ponder, Leslie Frazier press conferences. Tomorrow, the coordinators will have their press conferences. Those will be up on the website. And then after games, you do a great piece with Mike Harris, one of our guys here at VEN, called called Vikings Derby, where you call the game like it's a horse race and review the game. That's been a really popular topic on our website. So we try and put up as much stuff as we can, kind of be the fan's eye on the team.
Well, let's get the nose down at the wire at Lambeau Field.
Yes.
And pose for pictures in the winner's circle.
Sounds
all right?
Good.
Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com. Thank you, Wabby.
Thanks, PA.
We thank Ryan Donaldson, Joe and Jay Nelson for the production of Vikings Live at Winter Park. And on behalf of all of us here at Winter Park and with the flagship FM 100.3 The Fan, I'm Paul Allen. That's Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.